Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the Church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Candid Catholic Convos. Last month, my family took a trip to Puerto Rico. It's my husband's homeland. It's been almost 10 years since my last visit, and my kids had never been. Vacation has a wonderful way of helping me reset, but this time, it also helped me reframe. I made a conscious effort to put down my phone and just immerse myself in the sights and sounds. If you've never been, Puerto Rico is covered in lush green trees. It's even home to a rainforest. The flowers are vibrant, the water is blue, and even the sky seems larger. All things I sometimes fail to notice while I'm at home. All the details that make life worth living, because I often can't see the forest for the trees, as the saying aptly goes. Life and busyness can get in the way of our slowing down, of really stopping to smell the flowers, if you will. But nature has a way of curing that. Have you ever taken a stroll through the woods or your local park and saw the sunlight shining through the trees, or felt a gentle breeze on your skin, or saw an animal, a sunset, a sunrise, and truly felt God there with you in that moment? Nature has always been a tool for healing, but we can also use it as a tool to get closer to God. Avid hiker, outdoor aficionado, and spiritual director Chris Wood joins me today to chat about all the ways we can experience and appreciate God's presence in nature with just a few simple shifts. Chris, welcome back to Candid Catholic Convos. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be back. Thank you.
I love summertime and sunshine and just getting out and doing things outside. So let's talk a little bit about finding God in nature. And I mean, technically, he's all around us. So is there any specific point in your life where you remember like powerfully encountering God in nature, and how did that kind of come about?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say I've had a ton of like huge moments. I do spend a lot of time outside. I'm an avid hiker and outdoors person. I don't camp a lot just because of timing and stuff like that. I may do that more with kids in the future, but I do hike a lot. I also have a little farmette. I'm outside a lot. And typically when my wife and I go on vacations, it's usually some element of outdoorsiness to that as well. So I would say probably one of the most powerful moments I was thinking about when you sent me this question was my wife and I, in 2019, went to Ireland for like 9 days. Like, we made a relatively good trip out of it, just the two of us. And there was a moment. So we went to Ireland with no exact plan. We literally only booked the first hotel we needed to stay in. And we just had a rental car and just, I had a rough outline of direction we were going, but we used like the TripAdvisor app to book places night by night, which worked out really cool. And we were there in October, so it was the off season, so nothing was crowded. It was incredible. But what we were doing is using like TripAdvisor and Yelp to like recommend things as we go from area to area, because we basically worked our way from one coast down and around to the other and back across. So what happened is we ended up in the, I think it's called the Kerry Peninsula. It's like just south of where like the Cliffs of Moher are. There's the Cliffs of Kerry. I think it's Kerry. And I'm on Yelp looking, and we find out that there's this like little hiking spot that apparently goes to like this cove of the beach, because we're on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean. You know, we're near. So we're like, okay, let's cool. Let's check that out. So we go and we park in this parking lot, and there's nobody else there. Because, again, it's October. The weather was actually very beautiful, but it was not touristy. And this apparently wasn't a touristy spot. Like, this was more of a local spot.
Nice.
So we park, and I'm looking at the map because we have to follow this trail. And we end up going over this berm, you know, this big, like, elevated bit of ground. and we climb up to the top, and all of a sudden we just walk up to this literally like horseshoe-shaped peninsula of the Atlantic Ocean, this beach, and it was in the evening, so the sun was not setting but coming down, and basically I'm staring across the Atlantic Ocean towards America, basically, is what I'm looking at, and it's the most stunningly beautiful thing that I had ever seen. And Megan, we're both just like stop, like jaw dropped. And I've seen some beautiful places. I mean, we live in a beautiful area. I hike. I mean, there's stuff like that. But this was just incredible. And like, I remember the first thing I thought was, this just shows that God exists. Like, this isn't an accident. Like, this is stunning. I mean, it was beautiful. I can't even imagine. Like, I could show pictures to people, but it doesn't do it justice. Like, just incredible. Just the blue water and like the endless just flat. But then the beach itself was beautiful. There's all these rocks. Just picture Ireland coast in your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it was mind blowing. And that was just a moment. Again, God didn't like come Monty Python out of the clouds and speak to me or anything. It was just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in creation. And it like literally just in my brain, I was like, well, God is real. Like, there's this can't, like, this isn't a random explosion billions of years ago. Like, come on. Like, to make something so beautiful and appealing to human beings and inspiring, like, this is why people paint. This is why people draw. This is why people take photographs. Like, this is everything, because we're trying to recreate this. So that was it. And then I've had other ones similar, even local at home. Like, I love to hike around Lake Redmond and Lake Williams, mm-hmm. which is in York, nearer to where I live. And there's a beautiful hike that I do that I hike all the way around Lake Redmond. It ends up being like 9 or 10 miles, I forget. So not a giant hike, but you're hiking. And the way I do it, you end up hiking all the hard parts first up and around. And when you get to the top of the lake and you're about to start going south-ish, you end up coming out of the woods, because if I'll start this hike in the dark,
mm-hmm.
you actually end up going under this tunnel that goes under 83 that's kind of creepy and cool. But you come up, and like by this time you're just half spent because you've done all the elevation. It's not a terribly hard hike, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you time it right, the sun is coming, has just come up over Lake Redmond. This was probably 2 years ago, the first time I did that, and I had a very similar experience, which I appreciated because it's nice to know I don't have to fly all the way to Ireland to have one of these experiences. But the same thing where I'm sweaty and stinky, I'm thirsty, you know, I've hiked probably like 6 solid miles at this point and a lot of more of the elevation. And then you just come around this bend and it's just this beautiful moment of like, again, the same thought pops into my head of like, if this is an accident, this is one heck of an accident, like that it's this stunningly beautiful and that we as these beings are drawn to that so much, you know, because like no other, you know, we don't see men. I don't know of any other creature that stops to look at the sunset or the sunrise or something like that. Like all the animals that were around me in Ireland weren't stopping to say, whoa, like they're just going about their business. But we as created beings with our creator, we are uniquely drawn to these things. We see these things and are blown away. So that's the best I could say, is moments like that where I'm just like, this isn't an accident. It's just reaffirming what I already believe. It's just reaffirming in my faith. But I would say those are two that I thought of. Ireland was huge, but then again, real gratitude for still being able to notice it even in like my local Lake Redmond Park, of just stopping and just being kind of like having my socks blown off yeah. by creation.
Yeah, it's, and I love the way you put that about how, like, as humans, as created beings, we try to recreate
mm-hmm.
that beauty in all of our art. And like you said, like the animals, you don't see them trying to like dig a hole in the ground and make it look like the sunrise. It's to be able to appreciate that and to, yeah, I don't know any other concrete way to say that, you know, God is real and it's every day. Like you can walk outside your house or you can, you travel all the way across the world, but you're going to find mm-hmm. beauty in in everything.
Yeah.
I love that.
If you're looking.
If you're looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you wake up on purpose to go watch the sunrise because you know it's going to be powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing in Ireland worked out great. I accidentally was like an awesome husband because I was kind of plotting where we were going. She was just kind of going along, which was really nice. And, you know, she was looking too. So we were both making decisions. But this was a moment where I was like, let's do this. And like I knew in my head how the timing would work.
Yeah.
Because then after that, we did go to the Cliffs of Kerry, which are like the Cliffs of Moher, but less crowded. And then the sun was setting. And like I thought in my mind, I'm like, if we get this just right, I think we'll get there. Because that was our overall destination that day, was the Cliffs of Kerry.
Yeah.
And we ended up with like blue water, giant cliff sunset, and we were the only ones there. And so that was also a bonus point moment for me as a husband, because I kind of figured that
look,
out.
Look, babe, I rented you the whole mountain.
Look what I got you.
I love
look
that.
What God got us. Yeah, yes. It was really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. So as someone who spends a lot of time outdoors, you know, you mentioned hiking. How has that shaped or really deepened your relationship with God?
I would say for me, it's the peace
mm-hmm.
and the hard work or the struggle, I would say. It's a combination of the peace that comes from that, but also the peace of being there. So everybody meets me and they're like, oh, he's a super chill, hippie looking guy. I mean, I'll look into the camera. Like I know what I look like. You know, I wore this shirt on purpose today. So, like, I get it. But, like, at the same time, I also carry around – I carry anxiety. You know, I can be short-tempered. You know, I have flaws like everybody else and maybe more some. You know, I think I am a friendly and nice and mostly easygoing guy. But sometimes that's just because I can fake it, which is good because, you know, we don't want to walk around just acting like a jerk all the time. But
mm-hmm.
I carry around anxiety and stress. I, you know, worry, all those things, just like everybody else. And for me, being outside intentionally is what it brings me peace, which helps me relax, which helps me be still, which then, if I'm intentional about it, helps me to draw closer to God. And it's not just the hiking. It's also, like I say, the work as well, because I also spend a lot of time outside because my wife and I live on a little homestead farm. And I don't like to use the word homestead because we're not like being self-sufficient. That word is a little loaded these days.
Right.
But like, you know, we have horses and chickens and turkeys and goats and big gardens and stuff like that. So there's work. Like I was literally doing work this morning before I came here. And if I go into it as a chore and like, oh, I just got to get this done real quick, it can be kind of a bummer. But if I go into it intentionally and like, this is what I wanted to be here in this kind of place, God has blessed me with this. This isn't work. This is like my duty and a privilege to like do this. And then I pay attention to what's around me because like I said, I talk about sunsets, like the sun sets over my pasture every night. And if I walk through my life all grumpy and busy, like, oh, this is, I can't believe, I just walk right past that stuff.
Mm.
You know, the bird life, the animal life, all that around me is so beautiful. But if I'm intentional about it, you know, when I have to go do whatever it is, that also can help me draw closer to God because, like, I am working, whether it's a hike or, like I said, working on the farm. That draws me closer to God because I'm in His creation, which He has created for me and you, everybody. But it's for me to draw closer to Him. So, again, it's about intentionality. But for me, it deepens my faith mainly because I find this sense of peace. And with the farming aspect, there's a sense of accomplishment and like struggle that you get through. Same with a long hike, you know, like sometimes people think I'm crazy when they're like, you hike 12 miles a day? I would hate that. I'm like, half the time I'm there, I'm kind of hating it. Like same with like people who do road cycling, those weirdos in the tights. I've been that guy before. I used to do that, but I don't really have the time. Right now, I'm hoping to get back into it, but I've done like 45-mile road rides, like big loops into Maryland and up. And half the time you're on your bike, you're like, why am I doing this? This is terrible. But when you're done, that's when it's awesome. It's the sense of accomplishment. It's the sense of work. So I wanted to throw that in there, too. I know it doesn't have to do with nature, but when we're talking about getting outside and doing things, I would say the physicality of it also plays a role, because if you go for a hike or a bike ride or even just a stroll, like a walk, like you feel better also simply because God's created us where we can feel that sense of like, oh, I did this thing today. Like I feel good now because of accomplishment. But I would say all of that what I would say rolls into being outside just brings me peace within myself because it brings me stillness and helps me with that interior silence because that's the language God speaks. I can hear God better, not because he's being more clear, but because I'm being quieter. And in the midst of his creation, which is he is everywhere, he is in everything. It sounds hippy dippy, but he not only created the tree, he is the tree, he is the ground, he is the sky, he is me, he is you, he's everything. He's everywhere and part of everything. He's outside of space and time, but he is space and time. He's everything. So again, if we go into these situations intentionally, paying attention to these things, and not just grumbling because, oh, I got to go weed the garden again, this stinks, you know, or whatever, or grumbling because I don't want to go on this stinking hike. Like, there's some funny memes right now. This guy I see, like, real videos, he, like, makes these joking ones where, like, he's a guy, looks kind of like me, and he's got two big hiking sticks in a bag. He's like, I got to go on a stupid hike for my stupid mental health today, and he's stomping through. And it's hilarious because I get it because, like, sometimes I do have to push myself to do that. You know, like today, you know, I woke up to over 80 degrees outside, and I had to go outside and get some stuff done. But like at the end of the day, I was able to leave and know that these things were accomplished. I was outside. It was good for my health. And I actually genuinely enjoyed it, you know, and that also is a part of it that brings me peace. It's just peace. That's the best word I can use. For me, it's just all of those elements, even just breathing fresh air. If I'm focusing on what I'm doing, just it's a level of peace because of the stillness and the silence it helps with. That's how we draw closer to God.
I love that. What do the kids say now? You need to go outside and touch grass to like reset yourself. Like I always feel better after a walk. Like it's never like half the time I have to force myself to do it, like you were saying. But then when you're done, you're like just that time. I don't even bring headphones because a lot of people I see walking like they have headphones in. And I've stopped bringing headphones to just listen to listen to the sounds around you. And then by the time you come back, you're like, I can handle everything now. Like I can handle, it's almost like it, like I had an experience at church last weekend where like my mind was just racing and I just couldn't, I was thinking of all the things and like I carry anxiety as well. And I just could not get my brain to stop. So I like poured it all out in my journal and I was still like wrestling with it. So the kids and I went to church and I just left it there. I was like, God, I need some quiet in here right now. And then we left and I was like, okay, now I can, I touched grass, I touched God, and now we can now we can move on with our day. So it's kind of like, it's like going to church. It's almost like a cathedral or a sanctuary of some sort, just being outside. Thinking about nature in general and like how it relates to God, you mentioned he's the tree, he's the grass, he's the sky. When you said that, it made me think of that Beatles song where he's, I am he, is you are me, is you are we. And you're right, he's absolutely everywhere. What kind of scripture verses kind of pop in your head when you're experiencing nature and you're being intentional in nature?
I would say probably one of the biggest. I marked a couple. I have my Bible here because I'm not a very good memorizer of anything. But I would say one of the first things that popped into my head when I think about that is just the fact that what I'm describing that I do, that we're talking about, that you appreciate, that more people should do, is also what Jesus did. We know from Scripture that Jesus went off into the wilderness to pray, to be with God, multiple times. So we see more than one example of that in Scripture, but we have to remember, Jesus probably did that all the time. And that's why I'll look at Luke chapter 5. I'm looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 16. Everybody's heard this a bunch, but it basically says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So this is after he cleanses the leper. This is, you know, this is in the midst of his ministry. And other translations will use the word wilderness instead of desolate places. But what they're describing is him going off into solitude, into lonely places, into the wilderness to be alone so he could be with God the Father. So that's what I think about, and the inspiration that helps me is like we're called to live a life like Jesus. We're called to live a Christ-like life. And he gives us an example not of only how to be a good person and like we should sacrifice all this, but like also he gives us one of the best avenues of self-care, of self-help or whatever you want to use is taking the time to get away from the busyness. Because that's what they're saying here is like, he's calls the disciples, he's doing all this ministry, he's busy, he's going from place to place, everybody wants to talk to him, it's crowds and crowds of people, everybody wants a moment of his time. So he's like, he knows, and he does, so he goes away. And he doesn't just go sit in a room, he goes out into the wilderness, into these desolate places. Scripturally, we just see very directly that this was a part of Jesus' life, and therefore it should be a part of our lives. If we want to have a well-balanced life and we want to live like Christ, then that is a great example of that. It's like we need to find ways to go off and be alone and not just sit in our house to be alone. Again, I love to sit quietly. I got a chair I love to read in. That's beautiful too. But even getting away from all of that because of the distractions that are in my house. You know, like I was saying before we started, I have a 13-month-old foster son now. My home is not nearly as peaceful as it once was, not to mention all the animals and all that stuff. And I have a wife who also desires my attention and mine her. So it's nice to be able to do like Jesus did and be like, everything's a lot right now. I'm going to go for a walk in the woods and be by myself. And like you said, not take my headphones. Because that's a big mistake that I've fallen into as well, where you're not really actually doing the thing properly because your mind is still taking something in. So that's what I would say was a big one. But I'll also jump to, so I'll read a little bit ahead, but I'm reading in the beginning, the first chapter of Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. So that's an interesting passage because that he's opening up his letter to the Romans and he's talking about how there's all these people in Rome that are living, they're unrighteous people. And he's saying to them, they have no excuse because God has made his divinity, his power plain to them in simply what he's created, which is what we're talking about. You know, he's like, and that's a point that Paul makes that I think is very powerful. It's like, just look around you and you can see how awesome and divine and all these attributes of God. They're around us everywhere. He created things to inspire us. Nothing is by accident. That beautiful bird that you notice while you're walking, like he wanted you to see that bird. Like he created that for you. Not just you could say, oh, cool bird, but like to be inspired, to draw closer to him. And that's what I like about that, because he's literally like, there's no excuse for these people to not believe in God. They're just not paying attention to what's around them. Like, look around. Like, God created all of this, and it's beautiful. So that's another one. And then I did want to talk about a psalm. I'm jumping around. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But the psalms, you know, David, in the psalms, we hear a lot of stuff about nature and all that kind of stuff. But what was it? 104. I'm in Psalm 104. So, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. So that's just a small passage saying, like, if you go through the Psalms, you'll see that, like, these prayers that were lifted up, these songs, include a lot of that stuff of, like, look how awesome God is because of what he created. Look how great he is because of the small and great living things and the sea that is great and wide. You know, we turn our brains off to that because our daily lives, our responsibilities, whatever's going on, block us off from that. That's why I said I live on this beautiful little 3-acre spot of land where I get these beautiful sunsets over my pasture, and I miss so many of them because I'm just grumpily stomping along, like, I gotta hurry up and get this done, I'm tired, blah blah blah, whatever, gotta get the baby to bed, I gotta make dinner, whatever, and I just miss these things. But like I said, the intentionality of being there and noticing these things and really just knowing and saying to yourself, like, or saying to God, like, you created this for me. Thank you. Like acknowledging that. That is so powerful. But again, you see so much of that. Like if you Google, like if you start looking in the Bible for things like that, you're going to find a ton. I mean, just the creation story. I mean, God created this stuff for us to be a part of it and to take care of it and to live from it. And to, it's amazing. Like, that's why I said, like, this society that we live in that's so glued to things that man have created, which can be good, we're just so much going in the wrong direction with that. You know, I talk about how being outdoors and doing these kind of things brings peace and helps with anxiety. And I think that's so important for people to understand, because we're living in a culture where technology and things are pulling us more and more away from that. And then all of those problems, though, are getting worse and worse. We see technology increasing all these comforts and conveniences and easy ways of living and all these great things we can have to make our lives easier. But then put that next to the graph of anxiety, depression, suicide, mental health, civil unrest. You know, the world's kind of going nuts around us. And we see, like, at the same time, we're supposed to be living in a world where everything is the most convenient and easy and as it's ever been. So it doesn't add up. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if we go back, that's why encountering this in scripture is so cool. Like, especially when you encounter it in the Psalms and these in the Old Testament that was written way even before Jesus's time, thousands of years ago, we see that, like, David went outside and was like, "This is awesome. God is good." And it made him feel better. You know, he's like, "Oh, look at the birds of the sky and the wide sea. Like, God is good." We can do that too if we actually go and do it. So like I said, if you do it, if you just like need some inspiration, you can literally just Google Bible verses about nature or creation, and like it's all in there. It's all in there. And we're meant to experience it. We are meant to, for sure.
Yeah. I love what you said about just being able, like, sometimes you need that, I don't even know how to phrase this, but like not just being intentional, but you need to experience it again for the, like, so just an example, we went to Puerto Rico almost a month ago now, brought the kids for the first time, and I hadn't been in like 10 years, but just getting off the plane and getting in the car and driving, because we had to drive an hour from the airport to where my husband's grandmother's house is. And you just look at the mountains, and like, I just remember going, there is so much sky. Mm-hmm. Like, I had never noticed how much sky there was. And Puerto Rico does this thing where they don't build skyscrapers. There's really? There's literally only like a handful of skyscrapers. All the houses are two stories max. So you get this whole big picture of the mountains and the skies, and everything's just so massive and green. And I just remember being like, this is incredible. And then I came home, and it was easier to see. It was like a hard reset of like, yeah. Now I notice, you know, I'm picking on some songs, but John Mayer has this one line where he says, you know, the skies are painted the colors of a cowboy cliche. Mm-hmm. And I notice that so much more now, because I'm not just rushing through the day. I'm able to notice those little things, because they're gifts. They're gifts that God gave to us, and that we're so busy doing all the other things or being preoccupied with everything happening on the internet or AI or all this, like, things that are supposed to make life easier, and instead mm-hmm. they're just distracting from what we should be paying attention to, which is God literally going, look what I made for you. This mm-hmm. is for you.
Yeah.
So when we talk about it being a gift, what should that mean to us as Catholics, other than just like how should we appreciate it?
I think intentionality comes into that. Like I said, you know, having faith in God is a choice, not a feeling. Mm. So going out and like acknowledging that God created these things for us, for you, for me, it's the intentionality. But that's the trick to prayer in general, is we have to be intentional with it. Like, we have to like intentionally talk to God and be with God and choose to believe in those moments. So it's simply just being present in those moments. And that's why it's so good to get away, to get in the wilderness, whatever your abilities are. Again, I know there may be people with limitations, but whatever you can do to get away, like we were talking about what Jesus says, into desolate places, whatever it is. Desolate sounds like a negative word, but it just means more lonely places where there are not other people around.
Yeah, like you don't have to go to a desert. You can go to the park. No, it
doesn't need to be a sad place. Like, whatever. Like, there's parks everywhere in Pennsylvania, but like near me, there's a bunch. But like, I talk about Lake Redmond and Lake Williams, Richard Nixon, but like John C. Rudy is like a popular park that can have a lot of people, but you can still, they have walking paths that are paved. Like, even if you're in a wheelchair, like, that's a place where you could technically get away from some people and be at peace, you know, more than you would be somewhere else. So, but again, I'm a little going off topic there, but it's just important to remember that everything God created, like we've said, is for us. It's to glorify him, but also to draw us closer to him. Nothing is an accident. God's will for your life is whatever you're doing right now, and whatever you're meant to see and experience is where you are. And we have that free will to then take that to the next level and pursue him. So if we go into these places and we go looking for these beautiful places and we acknowledge in those moments when we look at whatever it is, you know, if somebody goes and watches this or listens to this and checks out Lake Redmond, like, there's lots of beautiful spots. Just stop and just look and just say something to God out loud. Just say, God, thank you for this gift of this. You know, whatever it is, like, just the intentionality, like, it's all there. One of my favorite, I'm going to get hippy dippy again, but like, I love the Eastern bluebird. I love it. It's a very common bird that you see. It's the males have a very blue back and then like a brownish gold underbelly. Females are similar, but a little more drab because that's how birds work. But if you catch, I just recently caught it. I was coming out. I was loading hay in our barn and I leave my portion of my lower pasture. I let the grass go long because it creates a little ecosystem for like bugs and ground animals. And it helps draw in birds because they're going to eat all the bugs. And I like birds. So I look over and I catch this Eastern bluebird. It's a male on the wing swooping with the full sun. And it hits his back to the most glorious, most beautiful shade of blue that you'd ever imagine. You know you're getting older when you start caring about birds. I get it. I'm dating myself. That. It's fine. It's fine. That's all the millennial memes right now about how we're starting to bird watch.
Yeah.
It's fine. But again, I could just look at that bird and say, that's beautiful, and still be amazed. But the next step is, God, thank you for such a beautiful bird. Like, that's such a beautiful bird that's so common to our area. If you look for Eastern bluebirds this time of year especially, you'll see them. They're beautiful. They're just little guys. But that shade of blue in the sun is just incredible. It's like my favorite color. It's beautiful. And the sounds, like I said, but again, you can go into that as an atheist can appreciate these things as just science and like how nature is. But if we as Christians take it to the next level and just give God that acknowledgement, give him that credit and thank him, say, thank you, God, for this beautiful moment. And if you get into that practice throughout your life normally, not just the big moments, like I don't know if I'll ever go to Ireland again. I hope so. But there's a good chance I probably might not ever see that spot I was talking about again. God, I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen in our lives. I might not even go to Lake Redmond again. I don't know what's going to happen to me. So if we get into the habit of not only trying to be in God's creation more often, but also appreciating those moments and giving him glory and credit and love and gratitude, that's what helps us draw closer to him. Even if you just look out your window and you see like the flowers, whatever it is, like take it to the next level and just don't just appreciate it, but appreciate who made it for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But all in just little ways. And again, it can get real hippy dippy. I don't want people to like, if you start skipping around singing hymns and how God is, you know, you're going to freak people out. So like, don't go too nuts there because, like, that can intimidate people and those crazy Christians. But, like, don't be afraid to, like, be a little woo-woo, emotional, crunchy nature person. Like, get out. Like, because Jesus was that kind of person.
That's like, true.
There's a reason he went out to, you know, I imagine they use the word desolate, but I imagine they were, You know, the Mount of Olives and stuff like that wasn't known to be it wasn't an ugly place. You know, so, and even St. Francis, you know, like, how can we not talk about St. Francis? Like, he's the animal nature guy, right? St. Francis of Assisi. Have you ever seen a picture of what Assisi looks like? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, of course he is the way he is. He grew up in one, he lived in one of the most beautiful places on the planet. So, but that beauty is everywhere, you know? And I think most people would appreciate it just in their immediate surroundings if they just stopped and looked. But that requires doing it. You know, that means turn the thing off, you know, go outside. And again, we're busy. We have families and kids. Take them with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to go alone. Like, again, Jesus went out in solitude. And I could talk about that, too, about like how I think it's important for moms and dads to try to find time for this, too, the best of your ability, by yourselves or together as a couple, but like still separately. You know, we need that too. But this is a great way, like I said, to bring your family in and to build the domestic church, is to teach this stuff to your kids. And like when you go out, and that's what I love about little kids. Like, we've got this little almost 14-month-old little dude. He's amazed by everything.
I love seeing it in children's eyes. Yeah, they're seeing it for the first time. Yeah. And it's just,
everything is awesome. Like, yeah. We literally put him down. He's crawling through the pasture, his little pasture flowers. And he's just like, whoa. And I'm like, that. But again, that's St. Therese of Lisieux, right? We have to be like little children. Meaning we have to stop losing the awe and wonder of how awesome everything is.
Mm-hmm.
And God's creation, it's all awesome. And again, you can experience this, whatever. I don't know who's listening. Like, I know there's people with limitations. Maybe you can't. I'm not telling everybody they should go out and hike 10 miles. Not everybody can do that. You know, but like, I see people, there's a spot in Lake Williams where I've seen like older people just pull up in their car and you can just sit and look at the lake. Like, it's this beautiful spot in the woods that's like one of their main parking lots. It's one of their like kayak launching spots. But it's beautiful. And you could literally, depending on your limitations, you could just pull up in your car or like get out and there's picnic tables along the edge. You could just sit. You know, I pulled up there to just do like different prayers, and like, it's beautiful. But you have, like I said, you have to go do it, and you have to be intentional about it. So you got, at some point you have to, that's the same thing with any, you know, the basics of any discussion on prayer life, drawing close to God. We've talked about this before. Like, at some point you have to do it.
Exactly.
Go get outside.
Yeah. Just touch some grass.
Touch some grass. I like that. I like that.
It fits in nice.
Yeah.
In addition to like it being a gift, right? We also have to care for it. So like, where is the balance between stewardship and appreciation, or are they one and the same?
They're definitely the same. You something that you love, you take care of. I love my wife. I'm going to take care of my wife. I love my dogs. I'm going to take care of them. I love this little boy. I'm going to take care of him. I'm supposed to love myself to a certain degree, so at some certain way I have to take care of myself. So I love God, so I take care of my relation with God. All these things. So we are responsible for what God has created, because you see that he created it for us. We are stewards. You know, God put Adam and Eve there, like, we are stewards of the land. We work the land, we whatever. Now, not all of us are, you know, out there growing food and stuff like that, although I highly recommend everybody try to grow some food, because it is a really cool experience. But yes, we are very much responsible to take care of creation, because, and again, some people have different opinions about this, but God gives us free will, which means he will give us the freedom to destroy what he's created. And we see that. And I'm not going to get too deep in here about deforestation and stuff like that. Like, you know, some of that is necessary, and there's things like that that we need to do. But we have to take care of what we can take care of, you know. So that's why one of the virtuous things you can do, acts of charity. Like, you know, if you go on a hike, you can pick up the trash that you see as you go. Like, it's simple stuff like that. Like, when I say this, I don't mean we all need to like cut together and like fight against whatever thing is going on. A lot of that's out of our control. But the trick to making any kind of a change or helping to do what we're talking about, take care of creation, is just taking care of the bit that we can take care of. So that's why I always encourage, you know, like, my high school ministry, when we do those Thursdays with St. Francis events I was talking about before we started, like, we go out hiking, you know, we have daily mass outside, then we go for a hike, we pack lunch and snacks and stuff. And I'll tell the kids, like, if you see a water bottle, don't just walk past it. And they know this anyway. I don't really have to tell these kids this, but you can do that and be proactive. We can take care of, like I said, whatever we can control. So, yes, I would say very much that enjoying creation comes with the responsibility of doing our part to take care of it. You know, it's good to pay attention to what environmental things you can be a part of. You know, doing good for our community isn't just going to a soup kitchen. That's good to do, or a food pantry or something like that. Those are all great things to do. We do that with our ministries once a month too. But you can also do good for the world and for people by joining some, if there's something where people are planting trees, or maybe your local park. Local parks a lot of times have days where volunteers come in to do this or that. You know, we can find ways to take care of our community. Even if it's just as simple as you just making a point to clean up after yourself well and recycle, you know, if you can. Things like that. But yes, we are very much called to take care of what God has created for us. Because it is a gift, like we said. And if somebody gives you a gift, you usually take care of that gift.
Yeah, you don't just throw it in the trash or just like leave it out to get stepped on. It requires care and attention and intentionality.
And don't get grumpy like I do every time you see a cigarette butt on the ground. It's not worth it. That drives me nuts. But again, don't get grumpy. Just pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's when I remember, like I said, if I go for a hike, I usually try to have like a little grocery bag in my back so I can, like, if I encounter trash, I can pick it up. So
I love that.
Just little things. Yeah. But yes, we should definitely take care of what God has given us.
Yeah. And I love how simple that is, because there's this comedian that I follow on Instagram, and she, in her stories, she shares that she runs every day. Mm-hmm. And while she's on her run, she wears rubber gloves, she brings a bag, mm-hmm. and she picks up trash.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's so simple, mm-hmm. and yet so effective. And it's something that we can all do in some way, shape, or form.
Well, again, imagine if everybody did that. If everybody just, if they saw a piece of trash, picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that can get overwhelming in certain places, like you encounter, you know, but in certain areas, especially where you live, like, yeah, you can be grumpy about it. Maybe you need to say something to a neighbor. I don't know. But, like, at the end of the day, somebody's got to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, just what has Gandhi said? Be the change you want to see in the world.
Yes.
So go pick up the trash. Go whatever. Go plant a tree. Again, I'm sounding hippy-dippy again. But, like, I've planted and grown quite a few things. Trees, plants for food and things like that. It's awesome. It feels really good to plant a thing and watch it grow and see whatever it is. Or eat the fruit or vegetables that come from it. Like, that's another way we take care of the earth, you know, like we know, no matter how you feel about climate change or whatever, like we know that trees give us oxygen and we need that. So like go plant a tree. It feels good. It feels good.
I love that.
Yeah.
I wish I could actually grow. I'm going to have to like work harder on being able to cultivate plants, because every plant that comes into my home, my husband like puts a little RIP on it, because it's going to end up dying. I don't know what it is about me or my house, but my plants die. So, but I do want to start like a garden.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just like our backyard is weird. Like we live on a corner. So like the front half of the yard has these 200-year-old trees. So it's all completely shaded. But then the back half of the yard, there's no trees and lots of grass. So I'm like, all right, well, should I plant something in the shaded area that thrives in shade, or should I focus on the back area? Because then, like, certain times of the day, it gets different sun, and it's a lot to manage. But just planting the one, if I could plant one plant and make that stay alive.
The trick is usually fertilizer,
even with
indoor plants, yeah. You'd be surprised how quickly a plant will deplete the nutrients in the dirt that it's in, even outside.
Yeah.
I have to fertilize my garden beds. I have like big, like eight, I have multiple 8x8 or bigger garden beds. And like you still, even though they're in the earth, like you have to fertilize those things. Like they require the nutrients. That's why you see the farms this time of year going through with those big sprayer things.
Yeah.
And spraying fertilizer. I don't use that kind of stuff. I try to be organic, but you have to fertilize. But yeah, planting and growing. I'm like, well, this podcast will turn into me teaching people how to plant. I'm not even an expert. But that's, again, to talk about nature, you know, we're backing up a little bit. But, you know, that's another great way to experience God's creation. It's like how amazing it is. I'm thinking about this right now because some of our plants are already starting to produce, like our tomatoes, because my wife did a really good job with the seedlings inside before they came out. And, like, we've all cut open a bell pepper, right? There's a lot of seeds in a bell pepper, right? Like, a lot that we just throw out.
Yeah.
One of those seeds turns into an entire pepper plant that gives you dozens of those peppers. Like, if you stop to think about that, it's really cool. And when you see that happen and you watch that, and then literally, like, then later in the summer, like July, I've got peppers literally falling out of my refrigerator. Now, we plant a bunch of plants, but that's what's cool is, like, then it comes time to make a stuffed pepper. And it's just all amazing. Like, this appreciation, not only for what you were able to do, but, like, God gave us this gift of this world where we can do that. That's what's so cool about having chickens. You know, that's just eggs. They're amazing. It's like a superfood. I just put food in this thing, and out comes this egg that's, like, one of the most powerful foods there are because of what it contains. It's just, and again, if I'm just like, oh, I gotta go out and get the chickens, you know, it does get annoying sometimes, but, like, it's amazing. I go out in the garden today, it's hot, I'm outside, I was going to stand in the shade of the coop, and I look, and we grew this year for the first time corn, sweet corn. So I say, if anybody wants to grow anything that's easy to grow, grow corn, because it's so easy and so fast.
Really?
Yeah, if you have a decently sunny patch, just plant corn. And you'll watch it literally in weeks get, like, up to your knees. And, like, everybody likes corn.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at it. I'm just amazed. Again, like, if I take the intentionality and the time to, like, look and say, man, like, not that long ago, I just took an hour. You have to space it right. So, like, I took some time and measured it out. And I just put seeds in the ground and watered it and walked away. And now I have, like, 100 corn stalks. And in whatever the timing is, because there's now starting to grow, you can see little corns with the hairs coming out. They're like little tiny dudes. Like, it's so cool because I'm like, I don't want to do with all this corn. But, like, at some point, I'm going to have upwards of, like, 100 ears of corn that cost me a 99-cent pack of seeds. And, again, corn's cheap. It's not about the money. Gardening is an investment of love. But, like, it's just amazing. And, like, again, I can take that and say, man, what God created is really cool. That one of those little tiny seeds inside that jalapeno pepper is good. Like, because last year we grew jalapenos, and I had buckets. Just with 3 jalapeno plants, I was buckets of jalapenos. Because we like spicy hot food. And, like, just this little tiny seed. It's just incredible. I don't know. Again, I'm going to, like, go off the deep end with that. But that's another way I would say, I'm glad that we brought that up, because that is another way we can experience nature and God's creation, is literally by cultivating it. And, like, my wife grows flowers too. It doesn't have any vegetables. Like, she grows these beautiful different, I don't know the name she does, but, like, she grows all these beautiful flowers, you know, and they're just to look at and for the bees. And it's awesome.
Now, would you say that your relationship with God has grown deeper since starting a farm, or
100%.
Has, yeah?
100%. Leaps and bounds. Leaves them. That's why I said, people are like, well, do you think everybody should go buy land? Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you want my prescription for, like, a happier, more joyous experience, go buy, invest in a section of land that means you'll work more than you ever thought you would. You'll never watch as much TV as you want. And you will be happier. You'll be tired and dirty. You know, somebody will ask you to come onto a podcast and you'll have to, like, go out early and get sweaty and take a shower before you leave so you don't stink up the studio. But, like, it's incredible. Like, it and again, it can be hard and annoying, and, you know, life is life. My wife and I are sometimes like, dang, like, I'm grumpy, and she's, you know, it's that, and the other meme of, like, we sometimes we get our heads in the sand that we forget that we're finally living the dream that we worked for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing is, like, I'm going off with the deep end again, but yes, like, I told my wife for years, I did not want to buy it. I don't want this. I don't want to buy this kind of thing. I'm not in it. I'm not a farmer. You know, I don't want to have all that work and responsibility. I was so wrong. I was so wrong. And again, my wife will sit here shaking her head, because certainly I get frustrated. So does she. Animals die, get sad. You know, things, it's hard. Right now it's like 100 degrees. But again, like, the last 3 years that we've been here, like, spiritually, leaps and bounds for myself. Thanks be to God. But it's because, like, he's given me the blessing of the life that I need to go with the spirituality that he wants me to have, which is a spirituality of what we're talking about, being outside, working, acknowledging that while he gives us one day of rest, what do you think those other 6 days are for?
Hmm.
For toil, for work. But not just working our jobs, like working to take care of our families and provide. And like I said, with the intentionality, especially, and in winters, it actually becomes funny because with this kind of mentality, like that seasonal defective disorder, whatever it's called,
mm-hmm.
is more because winter does get depressing because like I'm trapped inside, I can't do much. But like this time of year when everything's growing and sprouting, and it's just amazing because it's like I said, I can't talk about enough how cool it is to like look. And I'm doing this new system with my tomatoes that I like to hold them up with like twine and these poles. It even looks cool. It looks like that's something out of Hobbiton, right? Because it looks very natural.
Yeah.
But like I can already see like a bunch of tomatoes. I've already cut a squash. My wife's doing pumpkins in the lower pasture, like actual like jack-o'-lantern pumpkins.
Oh, cool.
And we end up with dozens of acorn squash. Like the spot we're on is good for growing these things. And the corn is amazing. And my wife told me to do corn last year. I said I didn't want to. So once again, she was right. But the corn is just amazing. Like, it's so cool. And like, but again, I take that because in the midst of doing this, I'm also reading scripture. I'm doing the Liturgy of the Hours. I read books like this Francis of Assisi book. Like, it's part of my whole self as a spiritual person who wants to become a saint. And then I realize, like, oh, well, God did all of this and had to push me a bit to get here because it's so glorious and awesome and wonderful for my soul. And then that helps me be a better husband, a better father when I'm intentional. Again, I can be a grumpy old snarf too, but like a day like today, like it's just beautiful. It's hot, it's sweaty, but it's just the work is so rewarding. That's what I say about like, it's not really a farm. It's not really homes. It's not a bit, but again, we're growing and doing things like, every single day, if I'm paying attention, I can end the day with a deep sense of accomplishment and gratitude if I'm paying attention. Because, especially with a little dude, you have kids, you know, it doesn't stop at least until they go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So when he goes to bed, 7:30 right now, all of a sudden, then it's like, clean up the kitchen, let's whatever, I'll go check to make sure the horses are good. Like Megan and I, you know, husband, wife, tag team and stuff. But then there's always that moment where it's like, and like you can have that every day of like, I know things are good. Everybody, the animals are fed, they're warm or whatever. Everybody's settled, baby's good. And as a man, as a husband, because Megan, my wife, goes to bed earlier than me usually because she gets up earlier. I can have that moment as a man, as a husband, as a father, as the guy that's supposed to be the leader of this troop, right? Where I can stand like on my deck that overlooks and just be like, did it. Today we did it. I know we're not going to starve to death because the chickens are there and the garden's producing. Worst case scenario, I can eat a horse. Like, whatever. There's a lot of steaks, I know. My wife doesn't like it when I say that. But, again, I kind of get, like, real woo-woo with this stuff. But, again, like, but you don't have to. I will say, like, you don't need to buy acreage to experience this. Like,
that was going to be my next question, is that if you're not in a position to buy or have acreage, what would your advice be?
Go places where there are acreage. Go out. Go. I used to live, before we lived in here, at the farm, we lived in a little duplex house in Dallas Town, which is just a town. My yard wasn't only about twice as big as this studio. We had 4 chickens in that yard, by the way. but there was a park across the road. And I'd go take the dogs and walk. It was just a regular park in the middle of a town. There was playground, ball fields, and like a gravel route, like just a big circle that you'd mm-hmm. walk. Again, I'm in the middle of a town. There's still noise, but there's trees. It's a little more peaceful. Kids playing. That's a nice sound. And just walk the dogs. And like in a neighborhood like that, you kind of got to walk your dogs. So it was just a great opportunity to get outside. Or then where we lived then, I was even closer to like all my favorite spots like Lake Redmond and all that stuff. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I don't hike as much now. I still hike, but I don't hike nearly as much as I used to because I live in, like, my home is what I'm looking for when I go out there. But again, if not able to do that, I mean, I used to live in an apartment. You just have to get a floppy hat and a pack and some hiking shoes. And, you know, that's what I always say, like, make a couple sandwiches and throw a couple bottles of water in a bag and just get the All Trails app on your phone. There's lots of resources that'll show you where things are. And even, like, you don't have to worry about getting lost. Like, All Trails, stuff like that, will navigate you in the, show you where the, and actually, you can't get lost. And just go. And, like, go, and once you start feeling tired, turn around. And just have that time. Or go stop and sit, or whatever. Just go do it. You know, not everybody can do it. I didn't think I'd want to buy acreage. Like I said, I joke and say, like, yeah, like, if you want to be happy, go buy some land and get dirty and work hard. Because we were created to do that. We were not created to spend all this time sitting and being comfortable. Like, most people feel happy after a hard day's work, even if they were complaining the whole time. You know, like I said, it's a sense of accomplishment. I just, in the middle of winter, had to put a new roof on our horse barn. I did it myself, 100% by myself. And it was really hard. It was cold because I procrastinated. I should have done it in the fall. But I did it. And like I said, I got down off that roof and I was like, dang, that's really cool. It's done. And I did it. And but then the next level, like, God, thank you for this opportunity. Like, this is great. You know, and now I look up at that and it's done. So I'm just saying we're created to go and do stuff and be physical, use our bodies. And that can, like I said, that can draw so closely to God because that's how he created things. Like, in the beginning, he created this 7 days. And like I said, he gives us one day of rest to work on our relationship with him and be with him. We're supposed to pray every day. But those other 6 days are meant for toil, for labor. But that doesn't have to be a negative word. Part of that toil can be like the grumpy meme I talked about. The guy said, I got to go on a stupid hike for my stupid mental health. Like, but that's also relates to it too. I tie that in, like I've talked about before, the connection between our physical, mental, and spiritual health. Hikes hit all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Going for a hike or a bike ride or a stroll around your neighborhood, it hits all three, or can. It does. You know, we know from the science. That's why you see all these videos of walking for weight loss is the big thing right now. You mm-hmm. see, everybody wants you to walk instead
or
of
or like
run.
With a weighted vest.
Yeah, but yeah. Walking and not running, because walking calms the stress hormone where running increases it.
Mm-hmm.
So people that have certain troubles with stuff like that, running isn't always the best thing for them, because when our body knows we're running, something's wrong, right? Where walking is peaceful. So, like, God created us this way for a reason. Like, if you're feeling down in the dumps, you're having a hard time, you're stressed, you're angry, I can relate to that, you know, go for a walk outside. Like, it sounds corny, but, like, Jesus did it. So just go out there and do it.
I don't think there's any more perfect way that you could have said that. Jesus did it.
He went out into the woods by himself. Like, what else do you need?
If it's good enough for
the
Jesus.
The Son of God needed to go get away from everybody for a minute. And he went in the woods by himself because people were being a little bit too much that day. Like,
he was peopled out.
He was peopled out. We can all. So if you're peopled out, go get away from people for a while. And I know, again, moms and dads, I get it. Like,
no, but make it a family thing. Like, we started doing family walks, like, after dinner, just to chill out for a minute, or walk up to a playground, let the kids run it off for a little bit while we sit on the bench and just
it could be a great date too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you get a babysitter or drop the kids off with grandmom or something like that. One of my favorite things, my wife doesn't cook the best. I'm allowed to say that because she knows. She's got a couple of things she makes, but I do most of the cooking. But she makes a heck of a sandwich. My wife, for some reason, just can make the perfect sandwich. And she makes the best BLTs ever.
Yeah.
The way she layers them, they're just perfect. So that's one of my favorite things, is like, she'll make a bunch of sandwiches, because I'll eat 7 of them if you give them to me. Mm-hmm. But she'll make, you know, 4. We'll have a couple each. Some chips and some fruit, whatever. It's pack a lunch, basically. And that's a great date, is we'll go for a hike and just, like I said, we haven't done that yet this year because, again, it's the busy season on the farm, but Throw in a couple sandwiches and, I don't know, get a thermos and sneak a little wine in it or something. I don't know. I won't tell on you. And go for a little hike and find a shady bench and have a sandwich with your spouse or your whoever and have a nice little date, you know. And then you're hitting all those spots, too. If you're getting a little exercise, you're getting outside, you can pray together, God forbid. But we're supposed to do that, and as a married couple, too. That's a great date, You build it into our, same with our, I've said this before about our prayer life. You have to build it into your life. And everything else is supposed to fit around it.
Yeah, and these are not huge, like, shifts that you have to make. These are little things that are easy to incorporate.
Yeah, and if you build them into the structure of your family, it'll only be better for your family and your kids. One of the reasons I love to hike is because that's what my dad took us to do as a kid. My dad, I don't remember my dad ever sitting and watching an entire movie ever, except for Dune, the old school Dune with Sting. He liked that movie.
Yeah.
He would watch that. But, like, he wasn't, like, my dad, when he started his business, worked 6-7 days a week and come home from work and grab me and my brother and we would go hike, stuff like that. So that's one of the reasons I love being outside is because that's what was normal. That's been normal my whole life. And I happened to marry, you know, my wife is the little kid from the Wild Thornberries cartoon. She grew up in rural South Africa.
Yes.
So, like, she doesn't ever really want to be inside. I have to try to make her come inside half the time. Like, it's time for dinner now. We have to go to bed. She'll putz around outside all day and night. So making this a normal part of our lives does exactly that. It just pretty quickly becomes a normal part. And like most things, you realize, like, you can't live without it. It's the same with a prayer life. Like, if you get that routine and you have the discipline to get it going, before you know it, like, you'll know you're missing it when you're missing it. You know, and that's why I said, like, winter time can be tough, but I'll hike in the winter like crazy. I actually like winter hiking because you can see through the trees. You can actually see more.
Well, on that note, now we have weekend plans that we can,
yeah,
we can make. Everybody, as long as we're not, like, dying through the heat, just bring lots of water.
Lots of water. I recommend those sun shirt things. There's like fishing shirts that,
yes,
people wear that reflect heat off of you.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great. That's a great technology.
Yeah. I'm going to have to invest in one of those.
They're good.
Well, Chris, thank you for all this really great advice, and I hope that we can get out and really enjoy this gift that God has given us.
Absolutely. Just get out there.
Thank you so much for listening. Our goal at the Diocese of Harrisburg is to walk with you on your faith journey. So if this episode resonated with you in any way, the easiest way to show your appreciation is by sharing this program with your network or by leaving a review on your listening platform. You can also support us financially by making a donation online at hbgdiocese.org/DAC and clicking the Make a Donation button. Thanks again, and we'll see you at church on Sunday.